From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. And on this day, yet another challenge to ranked choice voting in Maine was in federal court today. And Senator Susan Collins proposes some steps to deal with the opioid epidemic among seniors. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
State officials are shutting down Maine's elver season early. They're citing illegal sales of the tiny eels, which sell for high prices to Asian aquaculture businesses. Fred Bever has more.
The Department of Marine Resources says a Marine Patrol investigation found some elver dealers paid cash to licensed harvesters without registering the eel sales to the state's official swipe card system. And those unrecorded cash transactions were made at prices less than those for properly tracked eels.
You have to assume there's some greed involved here.
Jeff Nichols is DMR's spokesman.
This investigation shows us that the swipe card system is clearly something that some people in this industry have found a way around.
Harvesting and selling eels off the books could allow some licensees to exceed their individual quotas. And DMR says given illegal sales, the state has probably exceeded its overall 9,600-pound quota for the year, forcing an early end to a season that was on track to hit $24 million in legal sales. Daryl Young, co-founder of the State Elver Fishermen's Association, says DMR investigators visited his Ellsworth shop and examined his computerized inventory system.
Didn't know what they were really looking for. They're just looking at my inventory, or what I bought and stuff, but I checked out all right, and off they went.
He says he's surprised that the swipe card system may be vulnerable.
I mean, everything's been pretty legit the last couple of years. I mean, I thought it'd be kind of foolish for anyone to even try to break the law.
The harvesting season will close at 6 a.m. Thursday, with dealers allowed to buy elvers until noon. In a press release, DMR Commissioner Patrick Kelleher says the illegal sales have put the fishery's future at risk. Enforcement actions are expected, and DMR officials say they'll release more information as the investigation progresses. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
A federal judge heard arguments today in yet another case involving Maine's landmark ranked choice voting law. In this case, the Maine Republican Party is suing the Maine Secretary of State in the hope of blocking the voting system from being used in its June 12th primary election. Our political correspondent Steve Missler covered the arguments held in U.S. District Court in Portland today. He is here to explain what happened. Steve, can you first just set up what this case is about, what the central tension is, and what the stakes are?
Sure. Well, I'll start with the stakes, Nora. I think what could happen here is if the judge grants the Maine Republican Party's request for an injunction, what that would effectively do is it would block ranked choice voting from being used in the Republican primary, but it would allow Democrats to continue using it. So you would effectively have two different voting systems being used in the two parties' respective primary elections. So, and that adds another complication, which is that right now, absentee balloting has already started. So right now, ranked choice voting ballots are already being distributed to Republicans and Democrats. And what Republicans are saying is that if you give us this injunction, all the Secretary of State and town clerks have to do is basically count the first choice on ranked choice ballots just for Republicans. Now, their central argument is that ranked choice voting is infringing on its First Amendment rights of free association and that they want a court to say that they don't have to use it. What its attorneys are arguing is that this new election system that voters passed in 2016 will fundamentally change how the party's nominees, in this case its nominee for governor, and a legislative race are chosen. And to understand that their point, it's important to understand what primary elections are. They're essentially party elections. And that's a lot different than the type of elections that we participate, all of us participate in November. In Maine, these parties' elections are basically conducted by the state, and you and I as taxpayers pay for that function. But the Maine GOP says forcing it to use ranked choice voting burdens their right to conduct those elections that they want and could fundamentally change outcomes that determine who the leaders of their parties are. That's because ranked choice voting is basically designed to make it easier for moderates to win.
And the Republicans are suing the Secretary of State. What is that office saying to those arguments?
So Phyllis Gardner is the assistant AG representing the Secretary of State. And let me just start out by saying that she has spent a lot of time in courtrooms over the past several months fending off various challenges to ranked choice voting. But in this case, Gardner's central argument boils down to this, that ranked choice voting does not infringe on the GOP voters' ability to participate in the primary or infringe on their right to pick their nominee for governor. She basically is making a distinction between the state's role as counting ballots and conducting the election and how parties, their ability to participate in them. And she argues that ranked choice voting is a different method of counting ballots and that the state has the authority to change how that's done based on legislative changes to the law, or in this case, a law that was approved by voters.
I saw yesterday in a piece that you wrote that the federal judge assigned to this case is John Levy. How did he respond to the arguments that were made in court today?
Well, he really seemed to be probing the weaknesses in both arguments. And for the Republicans, he seemed to focus on the idea that the party is the final arbiter in determining how primary elections are held. In doing so, he attempted to flip this entire case on its head by asking GOP attorney Josh Dunlap this question. What if ranked choice voting was not approved by voters, was not the law of the land, but that Republicans had decided that it was the best way to choose their nominee? Should the state then have to conduct a ranked choice election just for Republicans? It was an interesting question, I think, and it seems to be a key one because if, in fact, Levy gives the GOP the injunction that they're looking for, does that set a precedent and create a scenario where political parties in other states, this is federal court, so this does have ramifications, are suddenly challenging the way primary elections are held because they don't happen to like the one that's currently being used? And while it's impossible to read the mind of a federal judge or any judge, the fear that creating that kind of precedent may weigh heavily on his decision. As for the state's arguments, Levy just seemed really skeptical of the idea that granting an injunction would create chaos in June because Republicans and Democrats would effectively be using two different types of voting methods.
Did Judge Levy give any indication about when he's going to make his decision on this?
Well, it really could happen at any time. He said it would be a written decision, and that would post on the federal website. But he did say that it wouldn't be no later than a week from today.
Okay. Well, Steve, thanks for the update.
You're welcome.
Senator Susan Collins used a committee hearing today to highlight one aspect of the opioid epidemic that she thinks deserves more attention, addiction among older adults. Collins has offered two bills to address that issue. While they're receiving support from some Maine physicians, others say the proposals don't target the most effective solutions. Patty White has more.
Picture a person with opioid use disorder. More likely than not, says Senator Susan Collins, the image is that of a young adult.
This epidemic, however, intersects just as much with older adults.
Speaking before the Senate Aging Committee on which she serves, Collins emphasized the need to target this age group to help stem the opioid epidemic. Joining her to make the case was Dr. Charles Padavina, the former chief of emergency medicine at St. Joseph Hospital in Bangor. Padavina says federal data support what he's witnessed in the ER.
Recent CDC data show an increase of about a third in opioid overdose emergency department visits by Americans over the age of 55 in a period that was barely more than a year.
Padavina says problems can arise when older adults who've become dependent on opioids are tapered off too quickly without alternative pain management. Maine was among the first states to set limits on opioid prescriptions in recent years.
And it's just an indication that great care and time must be taken to taper anyone's dose so that people don't go outside the system seeking pain medication.
Padavina says older adults are also at risk for having their medication stolen and diverted by caretakers, family members, and others. Collins is offering a bill she believes will help with that issue. It would allow hospice workers to dispose of potent painkillers in a patient's residence after they've died. Collins is also proposing a bill to create peer support networks to prevent relapse once someone is in treatment. Dr. Cliff Singer, the chief of geriatric mental health at Eastern Maine Medical Center, says the bill that targets diversion is a smart idea.
Diversion is a bigger issue than misuse of the medications by the older adult themselves.
Singer also thinks creating peer support groups would help, especially if they target specific age groups, including older adults.
Because they're dealing with issues, life transition issues, and health issues that are often very different than younger adults.
I don't know if we need to expand peer support.
Dr. Meredith Norris is a specialist in addiction medicine in Southern Maine.
Peer support is something that is already out there. It's all the other interventions.
Norris says the real need right now is for access to medication-assisted treatment, which can be hard to get, even for those who have health insurance.
Usually, even if people do have insurance, they don't have insurance that covers treatment in a real way. Or they don't have access to treatment, or main care is getting cut.
Senator Collins agrees access to treatment is an issue. She noted to the Aging Committee that the recent budget agreement allocated $6 billion to address the opioid crisis.
I remain concerned, however, that at least in some areas, it is taking far too long for those funds to reach local health care providers, treatment and recovery organizations, and groups and schools involved with prevention and education efforts.
Dr. Nora says in addition to funding medication-assisted treatments, lawmakers should also take steps to expand access to a wider array of healthcare services.
What I would love is if people had really good treatment for trauma, for PTSD, et cetera, which is not as much medication as it is really good therapy, but no one can access that. Or access is very limited, or the wait is 3 months.
Improving access to that care for more people, Nora says, would help prevent them from developing substance use disorders. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.